Okay, we'll call the City Council of December the 8th to order. We'll call for a moment of silence, please. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a short piece of housekeeping. If you have any cell phones or other electronic devices, we would appreciate if you would turn them off during the council meeting. Next item, roll call.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Okay. Any audience participation? Okay. Does anyone in the audience care to come forward and speak for? Okay, hearing none, we'll go to written communication. Any written communication?
Yes, we received an email dated November 24th from Daniel Tepper regarding the Vaucom Parks and Recreation Foundation year-end celebration, and an email dated November 24th from Marla Bayer regarding city code, which I wanted to mention. The city did respond to her question about where the codes are found on the website.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the consent agenda. We're going to have approval of bills in the amount of $336,708.28, approval of payroll in the amount of $477,041.57, approval of the council minutes for November the 24th, 2014. Approval of the study session minutes of December the 1st, 2014. And resolution 1653-14, designating official paper for 2015. And resolution 1654-14, setting the schedule for the regular council meetings for 2015. Anyone care to make?
I'll move for approval.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Council action items. The first council action item is resolution 1655-14, amending the unified fee schedule. Jeff, you're going to handle that.
Good evening, Council. Ed and Raven will jump in here too in a few minutes. So if you recall, during the utilities budget presentation that we had, staff presented about a couple of weeks ago, staff recommended that the stormwater, water, and wastewater connection fees be indexed to the consumer price index, and that would occur on an annual basis. And we had our rate consultant here last year, and he also recommended the same thing. So the basis for that recommendation is, you know, to keep up with the cost of inflation. And so what this update to the unified fee schedule does, it adjusts the connection or general facility fees to the estimated U.S. CPI of 1.7%, and that would be effective January 1st of 2015. So if Raven wants to get her input.
Good evening, Council. The one item I wanted to bring up as a possible amendment to this resolution revolved around the electric utility. In both council study sessions, both on the operations side and then also on the CIP, we talked about how the capital reserves for the electric fund have been going down, and we discussed a comp plan amendment and rate study in 2015 to look at that. Recently, I received an email from Bonneville Power, and they indicated that the cost for the power that we buy, looking at potentially a 7% increase. Kind of that combined with some of the other topics that we previously have discussed, I might make a friendly amendment to this that since we do not have a general facility fee for the light fund, that we look at indexing the light utility rate at the same CPI until we have an opportunity to do the rate study and try to keep up a little bit so that we're not even further behind when I come to you in 2015 for the budget. So just something for your consideration that would be a friendly amendment to the resolution before you.
Questions for Raven?
Raven, one question on the stormwater. It talks about the proposed fee is based on 2,000 square feet of impervious surface.
That is for anything other than a single-family residence. A single-family residence is just per residence.
So they will be based on the impervious surface area?
Any commercial, industrial, anything other than single-family, yes, sir.
Is that a fraction so that if you had 3,000 square feet, you pay?
Right.
Okay.
That includes roofs and parking lots.
Further questions for Ray?
So how do we go about this?
I guess the first question we want to address is, do we want to amend this resolution to include the electrical fund? And I'll open that up for comments.
Is that's based just on the rate? We don't have any fee for
no.
Like the other ones?
No, this would be a rate fee. Is that correct?
Yes.
That would be a rate fee, and we would be amending this to include the electrical fund rate fee to be increased by the 1.7% CPI.
What is
any other comments? Paul?
This, if I understand what you're attempting to do correctly, you would intend it to come back to us each year at this time and change the 1.7% to whatever the appropriate
CPI is at that time. That's correct.
It is. It's okay. Thank you.
I'm curious about what percent of a penny would that work out to be?
The rate for the power base rate is about 5-something. Less than
calculator. How much?
She's going to pull up what the fee is.
What, $1,000?
That's it, Clark.
I think it's 5. I don't know if it's 548 or.
Just approximately 17 cents.
It can't be too large.
It's less than 10 cents on $5.
Yeah, it's less than 10 cents.
Okay, Charlie, are you satisfied with the response you've gotten there?
Yes, sir. Make a motion to amend the ordinance.
Second.
Okay, so I think what you want to do is pass the resolution. You want to make. Pass the resolution with the amendment. Okay? Is that fine, Sherry? You got that? Steve is going to make a motion that we approve Resolution 1655-14, subject to an amendment to increase the electrical rate by the same CPI, 1.7%. Is that okay? Steve's made that motion, and we have a seconder for it.
Second.
Charlie seconded. Is there any other comments or questions regarding this resolution? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion is carried 7-0. Next item on the agenda is Ordinance 14-2861, amendment to the 2014 budget.
All right. Yeah. So at the end of the year, I usually present any budgets that need to be aligned with actual costs. And so our primary fund for this one is to align the general government CIP fund 307, that budget, with the actual cost of the Banner Bank building elevator project. And within that cost, it also includes the POX card access that's in the elevator. So the actual cost came to about $120,000. And what we initially put in the CIP was $80,000, and that was based on a very preliminary estimate that we had received from one of the potential contractors. So that's $40,000 more than what was in the original budget. And then the additional revenue would come from, or comes from, real estate excise tax, or REIT money, and that comes out of Fund 300. So REIT was the original source for the project, and there is sufficient REIT revenue currently to cover the additional costs. So if you have any questions about the project itself, Raven can answer those, but staff recommends that council approve the ordinance to amend the 2014 budget for funds 307 and 300.
Questions for Jeff? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we accept the staff recommendation, waive the second reading, and approve ordinance 14-2861.
I'll second it.
Motion is been made and seconded. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion is carried 7-0. Next item is Ordinance 14-2862, adopting the 2015 budget.
All right, so we've had several study sessions on this topic, and everything that we've discussed in those sessions have been incorporated into the budget that's presented to you tonight. There are some follow-up items that need to be addressed from our last study session, and one of them was the public safety capital equipment and projects list. So I believe the chief is going to provide an update on that. And then I believe the public works director also wanted to provide an update.
Thank you, Council. This is just a one page handout that readdresses for everyone the items that we spoke about last week briefly. Just to review.
Thanks, Chief.
As we discussed last week, there are a handful of items, projects, and a vehicle request. We need to replace a vehicle next year. Those items were not included in the capital outlay plan that you originally saw for the other current expense fund areas, primarily because the way the Public Safety Department operates, we are sometimes able to get reimbursement or funding for these projects through federal or state sources, but all of those sources mandate that money be specifically for law enforcement purposes. So we're also always very careful to break out and itemize as law enforcement, as public safety, those items which are fundable through those other programs. So what you have before you is a list of the items which in 2015 we need to do, but which are not yet funded. As of last week, we discussed the possibility of using the state calls the program LOCAL, L-O-C-A-L. I don't know what the acronym is, but it's a very low interest rate funding process that we have previously used, and we currently have a local loan outstanding, which will terminate. Our final payment will be in 2015. So local funding would be one means of accomplishing this. So at the top half of the page, you just see the itemization of those items, which we discussed last week, minus a couple of items which are now I've now noted at the bottom. The reason I moved those out of the fund need to fund list to the bottom is because I found some year-end money in my own budget to pay for the thin clients, those computer workstation upgrades. So I'm able to do that with 2014 money. The evidence room dungeon, which we've all agreed needs to be improved to a level of livability, we were able to fund under REIT funding. Jeff and the city staff have reviewed that, and you folks have looked at it, I believe, found that appropriate. I've withdrawn the request to install a bathroom of any sort out at the training slash communications hangar, and that's simply because the property is up for sale. Who knows, maybe in the next few months, or however long it takes, I just can't see putting 20 or 30 grand into infrastructure that might only last a very short time. So all of the items that you see up above are durable items, some of which have been pending since we moved into that building in the mid-90s, and it's past time to get them done. And the one other note, the first note that you'll see there, possible funding, my sense is our year-end funding for the police department that we'll have enough year-end funds on hand to take care of the purchase of the patrol vehicle in early 2015 and fund the local loan payments that would come due next year. Primarily, there are three sources for that. One is reimbursement from the federal government for a share of our overtime payments, our work that was done in 2014. We track that to the hour for every one of our personnel for all the work that they do that's related to Homeland Security. And we do have funding that will cover about $70,000 of the overtime that we expended in 2014. By mandate, it has to be used for law enforcement purposes. Some of that money has already been reimbursed, but some of it will not be reimbursed to the first quarter of 2015. I talked late last week with Jeff about the possibility of asking folks to include the vehicle in 2015 in tonight's budget, knowing that we'll get that money back. And being the conservative, astute person he is, he suggested we wait until we actually have that money in our hot little fist. And I agree with that. The only caveat to that being, in order to buy interstate contract, we have to submit our purchase order usually by the end of March. But my intent is, as soon as we have those funds from the federal government, is to come back to you with permission to go ahead and make that vehicle purchase. And as we have the other items accounted for, when I can show you how I intend to pay for the loan or pay for those items, then I'll be coming back to you to ask for your assistance and approval for those items. So this does not require any action on your part tonight. I just wanted to remind everybody where we were following last week's discussion. Are there any questions I can ask or answer for anyone?
Questions for the chief?
I have a question. Buddy. The kitchen, updating it to the original 1996 spec, what does that mean? It was supposed to be done then and it never was? Or?
Correct. The plumbing's exposed under the sink. They don't have the cabinets in place. There's the amenities and in part, when you walk in from the foyer into our office, the very first thing you do is stare down a hallway to half of a sink, exposed plumbing, a trash can, and other things.
Nice
and,
way to kind of bring it to our attention.
and at the time, it was simply a matter of they had X amount of money to put into that project, but they also needed to do some things over next door at City Hall, and so we cut some corners.
Sure. For a long time.
You sure all of the stuff that you ordered, we're going to order in 1996 is going to be still available. I mean, you might want to update your plan to sort of 2005, maybe, you know.
We may have to go away from the tie in
post. Available, yeah, you know.
Totally agree.
You redo those specs.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Jeff, this requires no amendment to this. Okay, so we are looking, the city is, the staff is recommending the council waive the second reading and adopt Ordinance 14.
And Your Honor, I believe the Public Works Director had one item that she wanted to inform you about as well, if possible.
I don't know. Okay. Okay, Raven, come on up.
That's all.
You can.
This is a tough crowd tonight. First, just to answer your question about what that 1.7 was, I did a little research back in 2013. We gave you a comparison between PSE and Blaine's power rate. PSE at that time, $97 a month for a typical residential, and we were about $67 a month. So at that $67 a month, 1.7% would be about $1.14 a month for a typical residential service.
Okay, thank you.
And then all I wanted to do tonight, just because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks about this, is to note that if you adopt the budget as in front of you, we are then making the decision to move along with extending power into East Blaine without acquiring it from PSE. And I just wanted to make sure we're not covering anything up. It's very transparent. And that's a deliberate decision. Thank you.
Transparency is a good thing. Chief, Clark has a question for you.
Are you going to be able to get everything you want?
Never.
Look, I was a cop.
No open-ended questions will be allowed.
Yeah. On your list.
I will be able to get everything that we need that is on that list. It may require, however, some local loan funding in early 2015. But I don't intend to ask you that for that funding until I can tell you how I'm going to make the payments.
Yes, I just want to make sure.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now back to the item on hand. Staff recommends the council waive the second reading and adopt Ordinance 14-2862, approving the 2015 budget. Any further questions or comments?
I have one question for Jeff. You got the sheet there?
That summary sheet?
Yes. Yeah. It's on the first page of the numbered sheet. The one on the qualified energy conservation bond. It talks about the original amount borrowed and then balance at the end of 2015. That's principal plus interest.
What was your question?
Does that mean that the payments that are being made aren't even paying the interest?
Oh, it does cover the interest. Yeah.
So it's not keeping
principal and interest.
So at what point do you break even, at least with the payments at that rate?
I think according to the ESCO analysis, Raven, do you recall, was it next year? At what point do we break even?
That varies by fund. The intention was that we would be breaking even on all of the funds by the end 2015. We're not seeing enough of it implemented in 14. And in the wastewater fund, I believe we're cash positive after the second year. So we're actually making money.
Would you like to see more of a breakdown for that?
Yeah, we can provide a
breakdown. Are there any other questions or comments? Clark has a question.
No.
I'm glad to entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we waive the second reading and adopt Ordinance 14-2862 to approving the 2015 budget.
Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Seconded by Clark. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is carried 7-0. Next item on the agenda is approval of the 2016 Comprehensive Plan Upscale Update Scope of Work. So we've got the Comprehensive Plan Update Scope of Work for 2016.
And if you'll allow me, sir, I'll cover the both of these items together here, perhaps, and then you can take action and consider
those
afterwards.
Yeah, the preliminary approval of the 2016 Comprehensive Plan Population Element.
Exactly. It'll save me a trip back to the
desk. Super.
So I hope you had a chance to read through these because it's a lot of information, and I'm not going to go through it here tonight.
I didn't understand
Thank
very
you.
Little of it.
And the Planning Commission has spent a lot more time with this than you will, but it is important to us, the city staff and the commission, that you see these and are able to give a general nod of approval and that the direction is the correct direction, because what we will do is come back to you in 2016 with a whole new comprehensive plan, and you won't want to see it all at once for the first time and say, whoa, wait a minute. On step one, you should have done something different, because step two, three, four, five, and six all precipitate out from that. So we'll be bringing these forward to you one chapter at a time. And the first thing is not actually a chapter of the comprehensive plan, but it is the recommended scope of work. So what I want to do just briefly is go over the purpose of the overview and the a brief discussion of the scope of work, a discussion of the population element, and then hopefully you'll make a motion to accept the scope of work as prepared and a motion for the preliminary approval of the draft population element. You'll see the draft population element again when it comes back as a final product, but that won't be again until 2016. So this is our required periodic comprehensive plan update. Due in June of 2016. We'll be updating all aspects of our comprehensive plan. But what this scope of work, based on these two checklists that you have, says or does, is it essentially says we are not revisioning. We are not rethinking the city of Blaine. We are doing essentially a mandated legislative update that checks the boxes, brings us into compliance with new state laws that have been adopted in the past 10 years. And that brings us kind of back together. You've passed one or two or three comprehensive plan amendments each year in those intervening years, but we don't integrate those into the plan. They're appended to the back. This will integrate those into the plan. And we'll add some new pictures and change the font and do some things like that. But generally, the comprehensive plan will be very similar to what we have today, except that all the statistics are wrong in what we have today because it's about a decade old. So we'll be updating new population data and projections. That'll change the housing and the economic numbers, the transportation projections for traffic. We'll change the maps that are included in the comprehensive plan to show the current zoning and the new UGA that was reduced by Whatcom County. And again, we'll modernize it, as I said. We're going to change the land use. First thing is the population element, which you have today. Then we'll work through that to change the land use element, make some decisions on some land use items. Again, not totally rethinking it, but taking into consideration some of the changed land use things, like, for instance, the Peace Portal or the Peace Arch Port of Entry has consumed a fairly large area of high density residential land that was allocated there. It's under the secondary inspection now. So we need to look at that and say, well, do we need some high density residential allocated somewhere else in the city? We'll make some decisions like that. We'll be looking at the housing numbers and making some projections for the future and potentially making some new housing policies, particularly in regards to the aging population and how that will trend different needs in our housing market.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, Mr. Olson. The capital facilities plan, those are not just water and sewer, but those are also things like City Hall and the public safety building and such. It also actually takes into account schools and the fire district, so we'll be coordinating with them. Utilities is, for us, electric, but it's also gas and telecommunications and those kinds of things. Transportation is always a big one, and for us it really will be because we haven't done this for a long time, and our transportation plan is not really very current. We'll be doing a lion's share of our work there with a transportation engineer and with the assistance of Public Works and Whatcom County Council of Governments. They do a lot of the modeling. It's going to help us to come up with level of service standards, so sort of what traffic congestion level is acceptable to the city, and then will also help us come up with something that's required by the state, which is a concurrency ordinance, which basically mandates that we have a way to make sure that the transportation facilities keep pace with development. Oftentimes that includes an impact fee, which we have, but it may involve recalibrating our impact fee for transportation. What concurrency essentially means is that within 6 years of the increased population, you'll have the facilities on the ground to serve that population. We'll be looking at the economic development chapter with the Economic Development Committee. Hopefully, the port has also offered to provide assistance in that regard. The parks and recreation element will be updated with the help of the Park and Cemetery Board. Those two items will also go through the Planning Commission, though, because of our process. They are required to review all the elements. Shorelines will be incorporating some of the elements of our shoreline plan, but also referring to it and incorporating it all by reference. That is also essentially done, and that will be coming to you at the beginning of next year for your consideration. And hopefully the state will have the shorelines program adopted and approved, because they take final action on that, before we get our comp plan going through finally. So those will kind of catch up to each other. Essential public facilities are a variety of items, things that oftentimes cities and jurisdictions don't want, like a jail in their community or drug rehabilitation facility. But those are it's been identified by the state that those facilities are necessary. And while not everyone wants one in their community, you can't outlaw them. So we'll be addressing that adequately. And then consistency internally within the plan and consistency with the Whatcom County planning policies that all the jurisdictions have adopted. We'll, of course, have public participation. And then that all leads us into updating the development regulations, because you have to have consistency between your comprehensive plan and your zoning code, your development regulations. And so there are a number of things that the state has mandated in the intervening 10 years that we'll be addressing. It's not a ton. It's really pretty minor, most of this, but we'll bring forward a series of zoning amendments that will add a little language here and a little language there. So that's the scope of work, and what I really want to be clear on with that, and this goes right back to what Raven was talking about with transparency, is I want to make it really clear, we're not revisioning the city of Blaine. We're not putting in that effort. We're not spending that money. We're basically saying the vision we have in place for our downtown is a good one. The vision we have in place for our residential areas is a good one. The East Blaine plan that we have is a good one. And we will tweak that, reevaluate, and make some changes, but we will go forward with a kind of a technical update.
Michael, is the planning, are they going along with this? Is that what their recommendation?
The Planning Commission recommends approval of both of these items, sir. Yes. They have reviewed the scope of work a couple of meetings ago.
They don't feel that necessary to for us to look at a new comprehensive plan for Blaine?
They don't.
Yeah. Paul?
Ray, the transportation section of the plan, to what extent do you incorporate the countywide bus system?
Well, it will be integrated because it's a multimodal review, so it will not just include cars and trucks, but it will be transit as well, will be integrated, as well as walking and biking. So all those aspects will be included. The state mandates that more attention be given to other modes of travel besides single occupancy vehicles. So it will probably take a little bit of a higher presence than it has in the past.
Okay, the reason I ask is that it's my understanding WTA will in fact be doing their strategy this next year as well. So it might be good to coordinate with them, at least on that.
We will, and I suspect that the Council of Governments will also be involved in that, and we're coordinating with them. So,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But that type of thing is mandated.
Great.
Michael, on the school, I noticed when looking at this material, we had not put the number of Blaine residents that require school.
Do we know that?
Do we know how many people live in the city of Blaine that require schooling?
I don't know that number off the top of my head, but that will be some of what we will be evaluating, because the school district, I think what you're getting at is the school district is much larger than the city of Blaine. Our comp plan needs to address the city of Blaine, but of course it's correlated with the school district.
Do we get any benefit from anyone for having a school in our city that has a great number of other students coming in from outside our city? Do we get any relief at all?
Probably not in the way that you're thinking, no.
Nothing for roads or transportation? Or does the transportation get, do we calculate that into our transportation, that we've got all these people coming in the morning, leaving in the afternoon?
It will absolutely be part of the transportation study that we do, because the school is a really big generator of morning traffic in particular. Afternoon traffic is not happening at the same time as rush hour, so it tends to disperse in a different way, but it's a significant factor. Ask anyone who goes through the Bell Road intersection at that time, and they'll tell you it's a significant factor.
But this is not our school. This is not a city of Blaine school, is it?
No, it's not. It's the school district school. However, the roads are our roads, and the transportation that goes on them are the result of development in the city. We will have a transportation impact fee in place, which we do now, and I imagine we will in the future. For example, if they built a new high school and it was 70,000 square feet larger than the current high school, there would be a transportation impact fee related to that.
But that would be, that would not include the county, though, would it?
Sorry? It would be based on the size of the school and the number of students school facility.
The school would pay.
The school would pay it to the city of Blaine, and then we would use that in our capital funding for roads. I don't want to mislead you. Having the comp plan go in, or what we might do with the school, isn't going to relieve our traffic problems. But that's how it works, is that there's a fee collected based upon development, and the school would pay just like another use would pay.
We don't get any increase in number of students or anything like that.
No, we don't get a dollar per kid sent to the city or anything like that, no.
You have to work on that.
Good. I suggest you contact your legislator. So that's the checklist, the scope of work component. Any more questions on that?
Well, I just wanted to mention, Harry, you were asking about how many kids.
Yep.
Yes, well, if you look at these charts for the age distribution, it looks like there's around 8 to 850 school-age children.
How many go
in
to
the city limits?
How many go into school?
Well, how many of them are going to Blaine schools? I would think most of them, but there's probably some that are going to private schools.
Some are homeschooled, some are private schools, a few are going to Ferndale, a few are going to Bellingham.
750 or,
right.
You know, you don't know for sure.
And Birch Bay has a population of about 8,000 people, Birch Bay. So they're probably sending about 1,200 or 1,400 students to school in mostly Blaine, but some of them in Ferndale, some of them in private schools. We'll do that. It is actually an interesting topic that you raise, and it makes me want to mention something else, which will come up again. We are required to have capital facility planning for emergency services, which includes the fire department.
Yeah,
fire. And we also are required to have capital facility planning for schools, which are two districts that we can't control. We are not in charge of them. We are not the bosses of them. But yet we are responsible for them having capital facilities plans in place. So it's a challenge under GMA.
Don't we provide police for the schooling as well?
Yeah.
Don't we have policemen there?
Yeah. And we have to provide emergency services to the city of Blaine.
Yeah, we provide, and we only have half the students. I don't know why the county isn't contributing towards that.
Because the school is located in the city. We provide police services to the grocery store, and there's people shopping in the grocery store that don't live in the city of Blaine. It's the same thing. I know. It's particularly challenging with things like the school and the library. But the fact is, when people come into our community, we're responsible for their life safety. When they drive on our roads, we're responsible for that.
But we insist they come in to blame. Well, that we don't insist they shop at our grocery store.
No.
There's a hell of a difference. We force them to come into Blaine and drive on our streets and accept our police protection and all the other things. I understand. And to me, it doesn't make sense that we don't get some kind of reimbursement for some of those activities.
I'm not going to be able to help you with that.
I'll take it up with the police. Chief later.
You might want to take that up with your legislators.
We hope that they pay some taxes to offset.
Yeah. They go to the county, though, the taxes they pay.
So I don't know if you want to consider a motion on this at this point, or I can continue and you can do both of those at once.
No, I think a motion would be appropriate. I'll look forward to a motion. What is it you're asking us to? Let me see if I can get it here.
It's on the last.
Okay, you are the Planning Commission and staff recommend the council accept the proposed limited scope of work and that the comprehensive plan update will primarily be an administrative update to make the city's plan compliant with state law and responsive to change conditions since the prior update in 2006. And the motion should read to approve a limited scope of work for the 2016 comprehensive plan update based on the Department of Commerce checklist intended to be responsive to the current state standards and the changed conditions since 2006. Would anyone be care to make that motion?
So moved.
And so moved. And second. And seconded. Any other further comments or questions?
Just one.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Is the housing section, is that going to be with just the Planning Commission? No other group is involved with that?
There won't be any other group other than the council for housing.
Okay, any other questions? Any other comments? Call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
The next item then would be the population element.
Okay.
This is something that will seem somewhat familiar to you because we did a lot of work on population projections and allocation with Whatcom County. There was the multi-jurisdictional resolution passed by the city, all the cities, in fact, in the county and Whatcom County, that put forward a proposed allocation of growth. Our number is rather high because we have a rather large capacity in our UGA. And when I say UGA, I mean the area in the city and the area outside the city, because the city lies within the urban growth area. So we have a large capacity within our city limits and the unincorporated part of the UGA. I'll just go through this relatively briefly. All right. The new chapter that you have there, the new element, is how they're referred to, has information on population trends and the growth that we've seen. The 2010 to 2013 period at the end has actually been pretty slow, but Blaine has typically had a fairly robust growth rate, as had a lot of Whatcom County, but we go in ups and downs. That's pretty normal countywide. And I don't mean that our population drops, actually, but that our growth rate is sometimes quite high and then our growth rate is quite low. The population in the city limits is 4785 and in the entire UGA is 5177. So the projection would be for that to go up to around 9,000 in the entire UGA at the end of this planning period, which would be 2036. The year 2036 is the end of the planning period. This is what Councilman Olveson referred to a moment ago, I believe, related to demographics. And an interesting statistic is that the median age in Blaine has increased from 38.6 years in 2000 to 44.3 years in 2010. If you look at the graph, there's a fairly significant bulge in the baby boom years, which is basically the 75 years of age down to about 50 years of age, and I was looking around the room earlier, and I'm pretty sure that only Mr. Guntley and Mr. Crawford are the two people who are not in that bulge in this entire room, and that's maybe not totally indicative of the population as a whole.
Be
but that's not that far off. It's that significant of a thing that most of us are in that age group that are going to shift the population older because there just aren't that many people being born or recently born in the lower levels of this chart.
But you notice that if you stick around long enough, the number goes back down.
The number does. The number does eventually go back down. But what you will find is that the number of people in the 80 to 84 and the 85 years and older bars will be much larger in the future because we're healthier and we're living longer. And they'll be, they will probably start to readjust these charts to say, 85 to 90 and 90 to 95 and 96 and older, because people are just living that much longer. This is not unique to Blaine. As you know, this is happening nationally, but it is significant. It can't really be overstated.
So there's only 300 people over 65 to 74?
Yeah. About that. Well, three. What did you say? 65 to 74. Between those are two brackets. I think you just described
you
65
to 65 years old to live at Simeon Moon.
Pardon me.
You have to be 65 to check in at Simeon Moon.
Right. And the 65 to 74, that decade that you just mentioned, has about 520 people in it.
Okay.
About 10% of the
that's
population overall.
Yeah. Good. That's get them locked up.
Yeah. They don't all live there. Going along with that statistic, average household size has decreased. We used to have 2.48, so just about 2.5 people in a house. We now have 2.3 people in a house in just a decade's change. That number is expected to go down as more and more people, again, are empty nesters, and more people are single people living at home, and people are getting married later and later, or choosing not to marry at all. And those are often single-person households. So this trend is going to require that we have more homes for fewer people, or on average. Are you waiting to ask a question, sir?
No.
Okay. The labor force, we have about 2,200 people employed in Blaine. Our unemployment rate is fairly low at 4.6. An interesting statistic is that the median income in Blaine is about $51,400, which seems to be a significant increase from $36,900 a decade ago, 13 years ago. These are 2010 statistics, so it's a decade's worth of time in there. However, when you apply inflation, Jeff would have known this right off, that really means that your buying power has almost stayed level. So if you're making $14,000 more, or you have $14,000 more, you really can't buy much more than an extra pack of gum each week. So looks like a lot, but it isn't. The Blaine UGA is expected to grow by 85% over this 20-year planning period. That's a lot, but again, as we mentioned earlier, we have a tremendous capacity in East Blaine and a tremendous capacity in some of the other areas in our unincorporated UGA. So we are proposing this relatively high number, and you've already approved that number in the multi-jurisdictional resolution. So that is the end. And again, I want to reiterate that what we're doing here is we're asking you to approve this in a preliminary way so that we know that we can now use these numbers to look at the housing and these numbers to look at the land use and to figure out where all these homes go. Do we need to upzone areas? Can some areas be downzoned, which is very possible given our capacity? So we can't really move forward without these numbers in place. And similarly, when we get to the land use, we can't really move forward with the transportation modeling until the land use is in place. That's why we will keep coming with these one chapter at a time. Any questions on that? Yes, ma'am.
So our 85% increase is shown here. That's primarily attributed to the East Blaine area.
Yes.
That's the biggest bulk of this, and that's just because we have the land, not that we know it's going to be developed or there's some sort of market forces telling us in 20 years it's going to be developed, but just simply because it's there.
Yes, it's a little bit more complicated than that, but basically what we have is there were a series of projections done for the county. We paid a little bit into that fund to have that done. Some of them came from the Office of Financial Management, so the state generated those, and then we paid a consultant to do a little bit more research and look at a couple of other options. The state's projections are very wide-ranging. The state's low is a very low number when you get 20 years out. The state's high is a very high number when you get 20 years out. The median is considered by law to be the most likely outcome. That's what OFM has to model by law when they say our median projection, that's what they believe most likely. So we bracketed that with a little bit lower and a little bit higher. And then countywide, all the cities basically, think with no exception, said use the high number, not OFM high, which is way up here, but just the bracketed high that we selected. And of that, Blaine has asked for a little more than what might be its share. So we asked for, everyone said, let's look at a little bit higher number because we just don't believe those low numbers. And Blaine has so much capacity, we said, we'll take a little bit more than our share. You're right, we don't know that that's going to develop. We don't feel the market pressure to cause that to develop. But we have the ability.
We have to plan for it.
So we have to plan for it so it can happen. Mm-hmm. And if other areas do not get as much allocation, they won't plan for it, which will in turn create market factors that shift population mm-hmm. this direction. Mm-hmm. And there are three places where that population mm-hmm. would go. East Blaine, incorporated East Blaine, the unincorporated portion of our East Blaine area, which we call the Pipeline UGA. Pipeline Road goes right through the middle of it. And then Semiahmoo has a fairly large undeveloped area. Those are where the population would go.
Michael, the last go-around, we lost part of our UGA.
A big piece, yeah.
If 5 years, if on the next go-around, we have not filled up our UGA, would we lose? Is there potential for us to lose some portion of our UGA?
So it'll be done again in 6 years, and if we are not keeping pace or reasonably keeping pace with the projections that we're talking about right here that are up on the screen, then yes, we stand to lose the Pipeline UGA. That's about all that there is left to lose. It doesn't make any sense to cut off Harbor Shores because it's going to be built out by then. But
so
we
they
stand
couldn't
to
take
lose.
Any of our current.
They couldn't.
Could they take East
they
Blaine?
East Blaine is incorporated in our city limits. They
said.
Can't take anything that's
no,
in our city limits.
They can't say, yeah, you could give.
No.
But we could lose whatever existing UGA we've got.
You could. Yeah, we could. I mean, it's possible. East Blaine, for it to no longer be part of the city, would need to go to a general vote of all citizens who can vote in an election, and it would be a de-annexation vote. So the county can't just slice off a piece and say, we're taking this back, but it would take an action
by
the citizens.
But we could get screwed if nobody develops East Blaine, because then we would lose our UGA, which may be very valuable to us. We'd be sitting with a bunch of empty land out in East Blaine.
Yeah, I think screwed is the technical term, but yeah.
Okay, good. Glad I got it right.
Harbor Shores is in our UGA?
Harbor Shores has been added into our UGA. It was one of the little amendments that the county did there a year or two ago.
What about that little section that is west of Semiahmoo?
The Blueberry Fields?
No. Where they had asked to be included. Remember that little parcel?
I don't.
That's off of the Blaine Road. Remember the guy that came forward and said, "Look, I was in your UGA. You took me out."
Yeah. What's his name?
Oh, is that the Montgomery property?
Yeah, Montgomery.
Yeah.
So,
what's ever happened?
You said off of the Blaine Road. Do you mean off of Semiahmoo
Drive?
Off of Semiahmoo Drive. He is separated from the city by some properties on the north and some properties on the east of him, that they're in between him and the city limits. And he is not in our UGA, and the county didn't pass a request that he had to be included in our UGA when it went through last time. They denied it. We are in some very preliminary negotiations to looking at the possibility of helping with providing sewer service in that area with an interlocal agreement. It's all very complicated, and I don't know that that will happen.
Okay. They never allowed him to get back in there. Because that would have been a good UGA for us.
That was one of the UGAs that we fought really hard to keep, was that area between the Semiyamu Bay shoreline and the Semiyamu city limits there. And a bunch of it is already developed at pretty close to urban densities, and most of it, well, or all of it is on septic. So it's not ideal scenario.
Yeah.
Michael, all of the projections on the population, we have to be able to show we can pay for that if we have to put in.
You raise an excellent point, and I probably should have brought that up. The reason that we do population first is because we then move on to these other chapters. Well, one of the other chapters that I didn't mention, or two of the other chapters that I didn't mention, capital facilities and transportation, both look at things that are very, very expensive to build. And yes, we have to demonstrate that we can provide the facilities for this number of people and that we have a way to pay for it. At least 6 years worth of paying for it in detail, some of them 10 years, depends upon the specific rule, and generally for the entire plan, 20 years. You've seen those plans. We brought them to you before. It becomes a really big issue when you're looking at doubling your population. We have a lot of things that have the capacity. A lot of our roads will be just fine. Our sewer plant, probably just fine. But there will be things that need to be built.
Is the concurrency based on that 6-year span?
Yes, it is. You're allowed 6 years of catch-up. So that's the population. Again, you've seen this before. These are the numbers that have been agreed on countywide, and it will be our way that we move forward. It's entirely possible that based on what Mr. Olson just mentioned, we may come back to you at the end and say, given our capital facilities modeling, we are going to suggest that you accept a population of 4,000 instead of 5,177 because our numbers don't show that we can provide for all the needs of that population.
Now you've got to back that out of with the county? You've got to get approval from the county?
Not really. I mean, they could theoretically could force an allocation on us, but I don't believe that would happen. Okay. And this is the multi-jurisdictional resolution was understood by everyone to be a preliminary concept so that we could do that planning. And if we come and say, look, we just don't have the capacity to do this financially, I don't think they could force us to do it.
So if there's no further questions, the Planning Commission and staff recommend the Council that the Council preliminary accept the draft population element. Final approval will not occur until early 2016 when the entire comprehensive plan has been updated and assembled as one cohesive document. And there's a recommended motion there if someone cares to make it.
I'll so move.
Second.
Okay, the motion is to preliminary approve the population element of the 2016 City of Blaine Comprehensive Plan update. Okay, that motion has been made and seconded. Is there any other further comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is carried 7-0. Last item on the council action items is a settlement agreement. And who would like to handle that?
Staff recommends and requests that the council authorize us to work through a settlement agreement on a case which was described as a previous claim against the city for some actions by a previous police officer. We don't have the details of the claim resolved yet. We did meet in closed session and got advice from our attorney to move in that direction. Council authorized us to complete that task.
Any questions or comments for Dave? Hearing none, anyone care to make that motion?
I move we authorize the city to settlement of the claim.
Second.
Any other further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried 7-0.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay, next item on the agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. Clark, do you have one for the Blaine Economic Development
Advisory? Yeah, we had a meeting last week. We laid out some plans for 2015. Probably have a budget with one, ask for some little bit of money. And we've settled on it on the members. Our membership, and that's about it. Yeah. And we have a regular scheduled meeting now, and it's the first
Steve, ending on your committees.
Tourism Committee meets tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at Semiamor to finalize a few year-end things and start some planning for 2015. Boys and Girls Club, no report.
Bonnie, how about the Lane Chamber of Commerce?
No report this morning.
All WTA.
No report.
Charlie?
No report.
Dennis, on the Library or Senior Center?
No report on the Library, and the Senior Center had their bazaar, and it was a success. They raised like $4,800.
Terrific. Yeah. Wonderful. Good for them. Yeah. Planning Commission.
I get 10%.
The only item to report on the Planning Commission is that they will be reviewing the final Planning Commission draft of the Shoreline Master Program on Thursday, and that is their only last regularly scheduled meeting for the year.
Okay.
We expect that they will likely approve or recommend approval of that, and that you will see that in January. I have a couple of other items for you related to downtown, so you'll probably see it in February.
Michael, there's 3 Planning Commission members that their term is up now?
I believe that's correct, yes.
And how are we in the process of re-signing?
I need more bribe money. No, just kidding. I managed to get 2 of them, I think, to fill out the applications, and we're working on the 3rd. But we also put the notices in the newspaper, so anyone else might be interested in that.
When's the deadline for that?
The deadline has already passed, but we put it in the paper that it's open until filled. The vacancies are open until filled. Okay. So I think that what we have left is we're looking for 1 civil service commissioner. And
did you get the Park and Cemetery board member to request a renewal?
We did. But then we had somebody, and I'm sorry, I don't have it. All the details on this, but we did have somebody who will be leaving at the end of the year, and so I could bring that to the council. In January we'll be doing the interviews anyway. Okay.
So we were doing pretty well, but I'm not sure that all 3 of the planning commissioners have signed up for another go-round. I believe they all intend to, but sometimes people just are, you know, it's not their top priority to do the paperwork.
They're trying to get you to pay up.
Better pizza. And then on the Park and Cemetery Board, sir, I just wanted to mention that staff is requesting any council members, up to 3 of you, because more than that, of course, would be a quorum. Staff is requesting that any of you who might be available tomorrow evening to come to the Birch Bay Park and Rec District's meeting at 5:30 tomorrow at the Activity Center in Birch Bay. The activity, do you know the new park they have out there? Bay Horizon Park, I think it's called? Not in the state park. Yeah, the gym is the activity center. Their gym, the Birch Bay Parks and Rec District, has the gym there. It's 7511 Gemini Street. And the reason that we're asking council members to go is we are asking them for an additional $50,000 commitment for the playground, which council approved an additional $50,000 tonight in the CIP. The Parks and Rec District, $50,000, would create that 2-to-1 matching potential. So their money would also be contingent on fundraising. And we're really hoping that we can get that rolling with the 2-to-1 potential. So any council members that can come, that would just be nice to have a little bit of support. Mr. Wenger will be there reporting to me.
I will not be there. I have to go to Seattle.
Looks like Mr. Hawkins and Mr. Lawrence, and at least we'll be able to come.
Anyone else?
I can't go out if you're
not. Okay.
Not allowed out. Okay. You got 2.
Thank you. That will be great. We appreciate it.
Small Cities Caucus. David, I don't think we have nothing to report on that. And the Whatcom Council of Governments meets tomorrow. And we have the North Whatcom Fire Update. Thank you for your wonderful presentation.
Unless you have any questions of our newsletter, not much else to report this month.
Our times to semi-ammo. Are they improving?
I'll be reporting on that in two weeks on my next chief's report. They're about level. They're staying about the same.
13 minutes.
13.
If you average out the year, it's a little under that.
you guys wouldn't call them all the time, you wouldn't have that problem.
Okay, yes, Steve's got a question.
Update on the burnout house on D Street. Some of the local citizens are out there asking, any closer maybe being able to burn it down? Or
because that's an arson, it's an active arson investigation, I probably should turn that over to Chief Haslip at this point. Any comments on that one?
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Next item is Department Reports, Public Works.
Good evening. A few items to report from the Public Works Department. First, you might have noticed a new pole installed on the Semiamu Spit. We're essentially trying to provide some better communication with our telemetry towers, and so we needed to get something on the west side, and it was done really close to where our facilities are, but it is a new pole, in case anyone asked. I wanted to remind you that we have our annual meeting with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and I believe Councilmember Hopkins and Olson were going to attend that, and I thank you for that. We reported in our CIP, but I just wanted to brag one more time that Public Works was able to get a $750,000 TID grant for the Hughes Avenue project. So that now takes that project from what was previously just the intersection, and it will take it at least to the bridge. My hope is it will take it through U Avenue where we left off this year. So, and that leverages the federal funding for the project. So that's really exciting for us. Some of you might be aware of the Christmas tree non-lighting this year, and so I wanted to apologize for that. Believe it or not, our crew checked it prior to that day, so during the work week, and then about 2 hours before the event, tested it, and it was fine. And then we got this gully washer storm, and we anticipate some water or something got into the GFI box. So we are very disappointed, as I am sure you are as well. And
have get that fixed. Found out what the issue was?
We're working on it. Michael and I have been working on the scope of work for our groundskeeping bid that we'll be putting out next year. I just want to let you know that we developed a draft scope of work, and we shipped that out to all the people that bid on that last time. And Sue Sturgill got a hold of us, and we're going to be meeting with her later this week to go over her questions. So that's moving forward. The Drayton Hillside Bioswale, the issue where we had erosion and there was property owner needed to fix his damage, and the resort had to repair the bioswale. In any event, the bioswale was tested and inspected late last month, and we have accepted the restoration and we'll continue to monitor that. So it is now in active use, which is what we wanted for this time of year. I didn't really need to make the announcement, but we have delightful new lights on the fourth floor, and we'll be hopefully closing out that portion of the project here this week. And that's about it for Public Works, unless you have questions. Yes, Mr. Hopper.
How are you doing on Allen Street? Is that done?
Allen Street is about done. We're saying it's physically complete. The pay details and the project closeout will be happening here over the next month. You have folks that are interested in connecting. We like folks that are interested in connecting.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, send them on over.
Why, there's two or three people I know there that are
awesome.
Really into it. Yeah.
You
so
betcha.
What are you going to do with the septic tanks?
I'm sorry?
What about their septic? Are they going to be caved in, or what are you going to do?
Well, the alternatives we've offered the property owners, all of them include the decommissioning of the septic. So that will be included as part of the project. They need to make the connection between the stub that we provided and their house. The only portion that left to be determined is the GFF question.
Oh.
And we'll be sending out ballots or something like that here soon with a project update.
But his question.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be squashed specifically, but decommissioning would include capping it off and filling it with crushed gravel or drain rock or something like that. No other questions? Thank you.
Community development.
No report, sir. You've heard enough from me.
Okay. Public safety. Chief?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just some brief points to answer your question. Councilor Lawrence, regarding the fire scene on the 300 block of P. David Street, we're still working with the family. The gentleman who we arrested and booked into jail for burning the house is the owner along with the bank. It was actually the bank's house, which he burned down. So we're now in the process of working with his relatives. He has two immediate family members who have been attempting to help him out, and we're in communication with them as well. We would like to try to get it ironed out without having to go through an injunction process and leaving the property after leveling the house ourselves. But I don't think there's enough left of the structure to make a viable training fire, but I'll keep reporting back to you on that until we get it resolved, because it's not something we all want to be looking at right down the street. So, a couple of quick points. Your Honor, you'd mentioned in regards to the school district, I just want to remind everybody that Blaine School District does actively fund having one half of a police officer on our school campus for the school year. It's a few tens of thousands of dollars, and Jeff could give you those exact figures, but I can't speak to fire and EMS, but I can tell you that our school board and our school district does participate in trying to remunerate the city for the added expense of related to the school on the school grounds. So,
so do they write a check to the city?
Yes, they do. We bill them periodically. Yep. And I want to give we did have the one deferral due with our tree lighting ceremony, but the traffic plan was awesome. Thanks to Mr. Bullock for helping us develop our detours, and huge thanks to our ACS, our Auxiliary Communications Service personnel, who came out to staff the intersections for us and had a pre-plan for both for how to handle that. And they were also out the week before when we were when Debbie Harger had a crew out putting up streetlights. So we had ACS people volunteered to be the safety team to help with that out as well. Those were our two larger events for December. Just in the last couple of months, almost all of our volunteers, and that's almost two dozen people, have recertified in defibrillation training, first aid training, CPR training, and just in the last couple of weeks, they've all recertified all but two out of the two dozen in their traffic flagging as well. Those are commitments we make to them to provide them that training, and they have been more than helpful on an uncountable number of occasions. So that's money, I think, well spent, and we're very much appreciated council's support to that program. We are going to have on January 24th at the library, that's a Saturday, an open house for the ACS to provide some basic emergency management information about the city of Blaine and ACS's role in that program. Hopefully, hand out information to folks, let them know what the program's all about, and perhaps some garner an additional member or two. So I'll remind us all of that a couple of times between now and then. But it is Saturday, January 24th, and we'd love to have you stop by just for a couple of minutes. We did, as part of ACS, just a note here, it was a week and a half or so now, the city of Langley in B.C. is grappling with their emergency management program as well, and heard about Blaine's ACS program. It was one of their city's emergency management manager was actually at a conference in Seattle, and heard a laudable remarks about our program. And so they arranged, and here a week ago Friday, we hosted a half dozen people from the city of Langley and the township of Langley, the RCMP inspector, deputy fire chief, the emergency management personnel, came down, toured our facility, spent the morning with us and discussed our program, and are looking towards modeling something similar for their jurisdiction. So it speaks really well to the program that our ACS volunteers have put together. We also made some new friends out of the process, so that was good. And last but not least, they're forecasting some, you call them gully washers earlier, but that was what we had Saturday, was a preparation for the gully washers. It's supposed to be coming through in the next few days, so we'll keep you posted about that, but it's going to get really wet and windy. So, any other questions, folks?
Steve? Two quick questions. The portable speed limit signs we have, how many does the city have?
One. I'm trying to put together, and it's not on my list because we do have one, but and they're about $11,000 a piece. If you want one that's mobile, for less than that, we can get one that's permanent that mounts on a sign and would have a solar array attached to it. But I'm trying to put together the funding to do a second one of those so that we can get two out all the time. Right now, we have one of our officers, Jason Torgerson, is our assigned person who manages that, you know, make sure the panels are charged up and the battery's charged up, make sure it moves around every week and a half or so. Had it downtown for the last couple of weeks, and that's in preparation for the tree lighting event and putting up the lights and whatnot. We want to give as much notice to people as we could to kind of slow down in that area. But if you have any suggestions about where you'd like to see it, just let us know.
No, I just think they do a great job. I like seeing it on D Street and H Street, especially by the school.
Our intention is to, except when it's at the station, getting charged up to keep that thing on the road all the time. So.
Then the other question was just curiosity. Would you have a rough head count of what you think we had for the tree lighting downtown? I know. That's
I do not go there. I could not. I could not.
More than 100?
Well, I know we had close between the police department and ACS are close to a dozen, so if that helps.
Okay, thank you, Chief. City Clerk.
Good evening. The last meeting of every year has normally been a morning meeting just to approve the consent agenda, which may include payables and minutes. But I do need a quorum, and we're looking at December 22nd. And so I'm open to time and who might be able to attend. It takes about 5 minutes to approve the consent agenda.
Early.
How early?
What time is City Hall open? 8:30.
You gonna do 8:30? And so that would be you. Anyone else?
I won't be here.
Steve.
I
Dennis.
Paul's not gonna be here, is he?
No. December
22nd. Do we need
another one? Mm-hmm. Can he call in?
I may not. I don't know at the moment whether I can make it.
Will it work to call in? I'll be there where I'm going. I'm going to Austin, but I'll be there. I could call in.
Do we have? We have.
I mean, we don't have a quorum.
Well, Bonnie will be the quorum.
I can probably make it.
Okay. So that will be our quorum then. Charlie, Steve, Dennis, and Bonnie.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Council, this may be the last meeting of the year we're all together.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be talking to one another a little bit after this. So a couple things. First off, the Economic Development Committee, I think, had a good meeting, kind of organizing itself into a focus. We'll be on a monthly schedule of that. We are going to be coming back with some recommendations on using some of the RED funds for economic development, and we look forward to that. I have been getting phone calls. I have a meeting tomorrow with Blaine Connected. You know, they're the folks that we've been talking about using for the development of the Gateway site. So we've had multiple conversations now about medical facilities. They even had a contact this morning from Dodd Snodgrass from the port. So with the economy is improving, recession's coming out of the doldrums, and so we're getting more and more information out. So I think that's great news for you and for us. We are trying to put together a schedule for, you know, kind of a holiday potluck. I talked to Debbie Shirk about that today, and we'll let you know about that schedule if you're interested in that. Probably be within the next week or so. It gets too much beyond that, but it's hard to put it together. I want to thank the council for this year's hard work and staff putting the budget together and, you know, coming forward with the projects, I'm also from Canada. I've been listening to the mayor do my projects and efforts. So it's been a good year for all of us, I think, and appreciate your support for all that we do, and the staff as well, who has worked hard this year. So thank you very much.
Same goes to you. Yes, absolutely. Okay, we have the calendars. Any changes to those? Everything else pretty much the same. And the 22nd meeting, City Council meeting, be 8:30, correct? Okay, and any unfinished business? Any council new business? Hearing none, I'll adjourn the meeting at 7:30. Right. Who asked for the 7:30 deadline? Charlie, I got you there. Charlie said to me, you got to get done by 7:30.